hope you've enjoyed this journey. We've been examining the life of King David, a man after God's own heart, and we didn't get all the way through his life, but we had a good start to it. I hope it was enough to kind of get you excited about reading about him. We're going to finish up today, and I'm going to finish up actually by looking at a psalm penned by the man after God's own heart, and you'll see the secret behind his tumultuous life, really what got him through. And it's really one word. It could be summed up. Praise. Let's look at Psalm 63. It's beautiful. He was in the desert of Judah. And the beautiful penning of this psalm. I could have chosen any psalm, actually, of David. And you'd see the same thing. When he was going through turmoil, you'd see this one word coming out. And it was always extolling God praise. So let's start. Psalm 63. Psalm of David. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. See, he's in the wilderness. He's in the desert. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. See, it takes your mouth and your lips. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. May God add his blessing to his word today. Amazing how David saw God. I mean, he praised God in the midst of the journey of his life, whether it be pain, turmoil, whether it be, remember when he got mad and was drooling, I mean, all these things, through all the turmoil that we've talked about these past few weeks, all the emotional feelings that David walked through, he never lost his ability to praise God and find strength in him. We can get as close to God as we want to get. Did you know that? And David knew that. He got as close as he could. Praise is part of that choice that we can make even today. We can praise God as David did. No matter our feeling, no matter our circumstance, we can choose to praise God. Like this lady, she had a neighbor who was an atheist. An atheist is somebody who doesn't believe in God. And she went about and she would go into her yard. She loved her yard. Her house was so small. She loved her yard. She was an elderly lady. And she'd go out and she'd be digging in the dirt. And as she'd dig, she would whistle away. She'd be whistling at him. And she'd be saying, oh, praise God for the dirt. And she'd be having the flowers grow. She'd say, oh, praise God for these flowers. Praise God for the beans. Praise God for the peas. Praise God for the bushes. Praise God for the sun. Praise God for the rain. And she'd be just, you know. Her neighbor's getting sick of this. An atheist doesn't believe in God, and he'd hear these praise clock proclamations all the time. He began to tire of it. One day she was out, and she was picking these flowers for a bouquet at her table. She said, oh, praise God for the dahlias. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Neighbor leaned over the fence, and he said, why do you do that? She said, well, do what? Well, why do you praise God for all those things? She said, well, because he gave them to me. Neighbor said, no, come on. You're the one who watered them. You're the one who planted them. You're the one who grew them. Why do you praise God? God gives everything. You know, those Christians who are kind of sickening. God gives everything. You know, smile on the face. Throughout, you know, you get tired of them. Don't joke around. You do. You do. She said, God gives everything. I praise God. He gives everything. Atheist said he doesn't give everything. And you say that. She said he does. He provides what we need. I praise him. Well, that week, the lady's old age security check didn't come. She had nothing in her cupboard, nothing in her fridge. She went to her prayer bench in the backyard. She sat down, and aloud she said, "God, God, you know everything. You're my provider. You know I need food. You know I need nourishment. You know my check didn't come on time, and you know I don't have anything at all in my cupboards and nothing in my fridge." That atheist, he heard her praying this prayer and didn't interrupt. And he thought, "Boy, I'm going to show her." So he took $200 and he went and got all these groceries. He set them on her doorstep. He rang the bell and he hid in her bushes. He said, "Let's see her praise God now." Lady opened the door, saw the groceries, lifted her head to heaven. She proudly proclaimed, she said, "Lord, I praise you, looking after my every need, providing these groceries for me." Atheist popped out from the bushes and he said, "Aha! See, I bought those groceries. God didn't." She didn't miss a beat. She still had her head to heaven. She said, "And thank you for using an atheist to purchase them." Praise you, God. Oh, may we praise God. Praise occurs by searching for God. See, David, his search for God arises from his past experience. He had fellowship. He knew God's goodness upon his life. The God David worships is the great king who promised to be present among his people in the sanctuary. David hungered for God. He always searched for God, how God was in this situation. David was intimate with God. He had that searching for him. "God, where are you in this?" I mean, he's crawling and he's cuts the hem of Saul's robe, the one who's out to kill him. I mean, who's after him. And he doesn't avenge back. He doesn't kill him. He just comes and he cuts his hem. Remember, we've talked about that. David, who took a few stones and he just threw it and flung it and knocked down the giant. You know, I mean, that's the David who saw God in everything. Do you see God in everything? Do you have that intimacy that David had with God? It's a little intimacy inventory Dr. John Maxwell put together. And I'm going to read it to you. And I want you to just, in your own mind, just see whether it applies to you or not. Answer the questions as best you can. "My mind and mouth switch to autopilot during hymns and praise choruses." That means you just do it. You don't even see what the words are. "The last time God answered his specific prayers, a dim memory. I feel guilty when I hear someone telling what they had learned in their quiet time and hope they don't ask how mine is. I wonder where my joy went in serving God. I read my Bible and I pray because I should, not because I want to. I find myself critiquing the church service rather than growing from it. Those smiling, happy Christians get on my nerves. It's been a long time since I've been moved spiritually. I'm continually looking for ways to become less committed to the body of Christ. And finally, I seldom ask myself, what would Jesus do in this situation?" That's a great inventory. If you want copies of it, I'll give it to you. Just call and ask for it. I'll give it to you. I think there's value in that, determining our level of intimacy with our Lord. See, I'm often asked this question, why should I go to church? I mean, you know, why do I need to be there? It's not something for me. I just don't get anything out of it. Do you know those kinds of questions? They're self-preserving questions. David seeks out the love of God more than his own self needs. He seeks to glorify God, and there were those in his life who joined him in that glory. I mean, no one is excluded when we talk about the body of Christ. Did you know that? When one is missing, we're only partially here. That's what the body of Christ means. I mean, it would be like going through life without hands or eyes or without hair. Some of you are still working on that one. I mean, I know. I was waiting. Some of you entered into this world without hair, and you're making certain that you leave without it too. Sorry, I just to say it. So this more than just you, Chris. Seriously, when one person is missing, that's like having a portion of your body missing. I mean, you carry on, but it's much more difficult. It really is. I'm sorry, in my mind, the word zits is coming. Some people are like zits. They appear and simply blemish. You can hardly wait for them to go away. Sorry, just kidding. Just joking. I'll get hate mail for that one. I know it. But we're all needed. That's why David enjoyed going to the house of the Lord. I mean, he enjoyed gathering with the people of God because it was there he saw that he noticed this mutual passion for God. I mean, his yearning for God was heightened by those experiences he had, those fellowships that he had with God's people. Jonathan. I mean, Jonathan's own father was out to kill him, but Jonathan nurtured David in his yearning and his searching for God. People are searching for God. They're watching the church, our response to one another. The world's full of verbal put-downs, sarcastic jabs, critical comments, harsh judgment. The world already ostracizes people. The church can't. We got to be different. You know, these past 2 days, what's amazing, it was more like yesterday for me, but past 2 days, how many of you, Peter Heal, where's Peter? Can you wave, Peter? Oh, there he is. Peter Hill and his son-in-law, Emery. Can you wave, Emery? Emery's nice and big. There he is. And Al is not here. I know Al was at church last night. But those three guys did some work in my yard, you know. And seriously, Peter and I, one works. They extended the driveway in our yard. They poured cement. They cleared out. I mean, they were on this little bobcat thing that looked like a great toy that I wanted to get in. And, you know, zipping around and doing it. Emery was just, it was amazing. Okay, now, we worked so hard. All of us worked amazingly hard. I'll tell you, I'm going to describe to you how we worked to get this job accomplished. Okay? Are you with me? Okay. Peter's digging, and he's shoveling, and they're digging roots out. I mean, they're ripping the emery. He's a fireman, too. So he's ripping these things out, you know. I think I saw a lighter in his hand at one point. But, you know, and ripping these things out, and he's shoving them in the corner, and Al is, you know, running, and they're running machines like this, and, you know, and I had the hardest job of all. It's looking good, yeah. You guys are doing a great job. It's going awesome. And then Emery saw how good I was doing my job, and I was completing my job most of the time. He said, "Have you ever cut rebar?" And I said, "Have you ever been to a bar? What?" I don't know what the rebar. So anyway, he takes these things, and these long, have you ever seen rebar? Do you know what I'm talking about, rebar? Anybody? Okay, well, it's a long thing. That's all I can say. And he's got this big, you know, and he says, "I'm going to cut it." It's like a pipe cutter? Well, sort of, yeah. So I'm imagining this little thing, you know. It's this huge, I mean, I couldn't lift this thing. It's this huge thing. He sits it down, he says, "You're going to cut some rebar." And he showed me how. It's like cutting paper. It's so easy, you know, for him. He puts it in, he goes, "Just cut it there, just cut it, you know." They're going, "Put your weight on it." I am, you know. And then you get a little kind of a spark cut, you know. You can just feel it going, "Eh." I'm excited, I'm elated. I'm praising God. I mean, and it cuts. I got it through. Do you people understand this accomplishment in my life? This is huge for me. So I did that twice. I did that. I got a hernia now, but I did it. And then he taught me how to tab the rebar together, like how to sew it, basically. It's like sewing. And you use this little thing, you flip it around, and he said, "And you go too far, you snap them." I'm glad they weren't watching. I don't know how many I snapped. But, you know, and I'm sitting there, I'm doing this, and it's like crocheting. I've never done it, but it kind of sounds like, I did this stuff. I did it. Why could I do it? Because the body of Christ. You see, we all had our part. After I'd done that, whoo, I was ready for bed. I mean, it was, you know, my wife Joan, she cooked the meals. I had the greatest day yesterday. It was wonderful watching these guys work. I got tired from it. Watching Joan cook, I got hot from that. You know, all these kind of, it's amazing. But that's the body of Christ. We all have something to do. You all have something to do. Because God has gifted you with the ability to do it. Did you know that? And you're all important to do it. That's why that yard is accomplished. Because we all had a job to do. And it was done. Because everybody did their job. This is the place where we can go to get encouraged. The place where we're free to be ourselves. That's intimacy. See, find somebody that just walks so close to God and just be around them. Breathe them in. Know what they do, what they are. That's why church is important. That's why we need one another. That's why Christ calls us, come together. So we learn from one another. And in that learning, invite others to join us so that they too may be accepted and loved for who they are. That's the church. Praise occurs by searching for God. And I tell you, in our searching for God, we also seek joy in God. Because these past 2 days were an incredible time for me. Well, yesterday mainly, because I wasn't there much on Friday. But it was an incredible time of just seeing how God uses people and their gifts. But more than that, being around some guys and encouraging one another. And yet you seek joy in that. You seek joy in God. I mean, how many of you had parents or are parents? How many of you? Anybody had parents here? A few of you? Some people don't have parents. Sorry. Didn't you, I don't know about you, but see, I know this is being filmed, and I know my mother may watch at some point. Didn't you try your hardest to please them? You know, you try really, really, really hard. I mean, I did. Yeah, I am in prison myself at this moment. How many of you have ever married or dated or, you know, ever had a friend? Okay, a few of you. Do you remember when you first started in your relationship, let's take a dating relationship, you try your hardest, you know, to please your date. You know, and you may even go so far as to buy flowers and candy, corsage, reserved a place at a fine restaurant. You tried hard to please. You got married. Anyway. But that's how it is in a relationship. We need to please God with who we are, and the best way to do that, we do this, is by being who He created us to be. I'm not talking about having an other mindset. I mean, when you date, remember, you nurtured that romance by thinking of the other person, putting the other person first. I mean, isn't that true? You nurture that relationship by trying to please that person. When romance goes out of a marriage or dating or courtship, it's because we try to live for ourselves. Now, I'm saying that's how it is often in our relationship with God. We start thinking of ourselves. We don't think of God anymore. We walk into it with a desire to always please and put Him first in our life when we're intimate with Him. And that is what David's desire and passion was to please God. David knows in whom he has believed and is persuaded that this great God will deliver him. He has complete confidence in God when he walks with that slingshot ready to slay Goliath. David knows that God is always faithful when Saul was sitting in that edge of that cave and he was out to kill David, and David could have easily killed him, and David said, "No, I'm just going to cut his robe instead. I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to listen to God." David knows that God will never abandon him. Even when he goes to a cave, God never leaves him alone. God has never let David down in the past, and God will never let David down in the future. And the same is said for you. God has never let you down. You only think in your mind He has, because He didn't do what you wanted Him to do. He did what was best for you. See, when we understand that God doesn't fail us, we can move forward confidently trusting in God no matter what. Humans, they fail. Machinery fails. Computers fail. God never fails. I can completely trust in Him. People will let us down, but God will never let us down. Boss of a big company needed to call one of his employees about an urgent problem. One of the main computers was going haywire and dialed the employee's home. This guy was a computer genius. Phoned his home phone number and was greeted with a child's whisper.
Hello? Hello?
Is your daddy home? He asked.
Yeah.
Answered the small voice. Man waited. Have you ever had man waited? May I talk with your daddy? Child said,
no.
Surprised, wanted to talk to an adult. The boss said, is your mommy there?
Yeah.
May I talk with her? Small voice again, no. Hoping there was somebody with whom he could leave a message. The boss asked, he said, is anybody else there?
Yep.
Whispered the child.
A policeman.
Wonder what a police officer would be doing at his employee's home. Boss asked, can I speak with the policeman?
No. He's busy right now.
Whispered the child. Busy doing what?
Talking to daddy, mummy, and the fireman. I think his name was Emery.
Growing concerned, even worried, as he heard what sounded like a helicopter through the earpiece on the phone, the boss asked, he said, what's that noise?
A helicopter,
answered the whispering voice. Well, what's going on there, asked the boss. He's now starting to panic. In an awe-whispering voice, the child answered, said,
there's a whole search team. They wanted the helicopter.
Alarmed, concerned, more a little frustrated, boss, he said, search team? What are they searching for? Still whispering, young voice replied along with a muffled giggle.
Me.
Even our children will fail us. And we will also fail our children. And that's why God needs to be the focus of our homes, our lives. We need him. Did you know God could do this without us? But he loves us so much that he chooses not to do it without us. And because of that, I want nothing more than please my Lord. The psalmist says so well. I pull this out of the Message Bible. He says, I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. Every time I take a breath, I praise you, God. David just lived God. His desire to bless God. You saw that as each week went by that David made choices. He chose how he's going to respond. He was going to be vengeful? No. You saw his feelings. He was keeping his feelings in check, saying, is God in this? You see, it would be all too easy to say, how can God do such things? I mean, David was running for his life. Someone was always out to get him. He was even cheated by his employer. His best friend deserted him. His priest, Samuel, the king, his position, his friends taunted him, even used God to goad him into trying to kill someone. I mean, how could God do such things? But frankly, I wonder instead, how can God stop where he does, knowing what we deserve? Because we deserve nothing, none of the benefits that come our way. They're all benefits, what he gives us. To that, David pens these words. He said, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. All he wants, all God wants, all the Lord wants, is you. Amazing. Can't earn it. You can't do anything. Sometimes we just, well, I want to give something. I want to give. All God wants is just give me you. David understood that. Through all the battles, his turmoil, his trials, his struggles, through all the joys, David knew that his life was God's. That's why he could live with such joy. Praise occurs by searching for God. Praise occurs by seeking joy in God and also savoring time with God. Now that sounds so simple, right? It's wrong. It's hard. In our society today, it's hard to take time to just spend with God. Spending time together in any relationship does not necessarily bring intimacy, but it's impossible to be intimate without spending time together. You need to have some time alone with God. And it has to be more than just Sunday morning. This is the only time that you really hear or read the Bible or pray or sing praise to God or get your spiritual food. You're in trouble. You need to spend time alone with God. Now, I'm not telling you what time to spend with him. Just take time. I'm saying that if you really want to be close to God like David, you've got to have some time alone with him on a very consistent, regular basis. If you really want to be close to God, you've got to have some time alone with him. You see, there's a difference between spiritual discipline and legalism. When we talk about spending time alone with God, there's a tendency to become legalistic. Often, many of us fall into this trap. Many are even offended because of this tool Satan uses within the church. It's like the story of these two pastors. They were standing up by the roadside and they were pounding a sign in the ground that read, "The end is near. Turn yourself around before it's too late." Car sped past them and the driver yelled, "Leave us alone, you religious nuts!" From the curves, they could hear screeching tires and a big splash. And the fellow turned to his colleague and said, "Do you think we should put up a sign that said bridge out instead?" You know, we get so fanatical sometimes. The difference between spiritual discipline and legalism is spiritual discipline attempts to focus on God by doing certain things, but legalism attempts to gain favor from God by doing certain things. There's a difference. God wants the first one. So when I say have time alone with God, I'm not saying it because God's going to love you more. You do it because you love him, and then you love him more. David knew that. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9 says this, "For you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." David said to his son Solomon, "Know the God of your father." Now that seems almost too obvious to mention, doesn't it? But you see, David was aware that a person doesn't really have long to know the Lord. David had been king at this point for four long and tumultuous decades at this point. And he knew that on that throne of Israel, there was enough to keep a man so busy, he'd be tempted not to take time to know God. And so David said, "Solomon, above all the other things I want to pass on to you, I want you to know God, really know him." If you could pull your child or good friend aside before you died and give him or her one piece of advice regarding life, what would that be? Or perhaps more importantly, fathers, moms, and friends, neighbors, what advice are you passing on right now? What character and lifestyle are you investing in your children, your spouse, and your friend? David looked deeply into the eyes of his beloved son, Solomon. He said, "Know God, my son. Above all else, get to know him deeply, intimately." And the second thing David said to Solomon is, "Serve the God of your father." And he doesn't stop there. He says, "Serve God with a whole heart, with a willing mind." Solomon, don't make God force you to worship him. Do it wholeheartedly. Do it willingly. But most of all, choose to do it. Solomon, choose to praise God. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The most important thing that I can say to you is when you spend time alone with God, you draw closer to him. You draw closer to him. When you read the Bible, when you talk to God, pray to him, just saying, "Dear God," and fill in the blanks, "Amen," you draw closer to him. You got to have that time alone with him. Do you have an appetite for God? Do you really want to know him better? See, King David went through an awful lot in his life. Somebody was even trying to kill him. It was the king. And yet he could turn around and he could say, God, I trust you. You can protect me. You got it handled. So all David did was just surrender his life completely into the hands of God. It sounds so simple, but it's so hard because the world will make you think otherwise. The world will make you think you're not worth much. God says you're worth more than I can, more than gold. Gold's up right now, so that's a lot. You're worth more than gold to God. And that's why he died on the cross. Because he said, I love you this much. And I got to show you how much I love you. Even though you turn against me, Jesus said, I forgive you. All I ask is for your life. Surrender it to my hands. I'll take care of you. I'll protect you. And just continue to live your life for me. And I'll look after you. Well, heads are bowed today and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you, if you're coming to God today and you're saying, God, I just completely place my trust in you, everything. My whole heart, God, my whole being, everything is yours because I can't do this anymore. God, I've been trusting in people too much and they've been failing me. And God, you're it. You're it for me. That's it. Just love me, God. Love me and may I love you in return. If you're saying that to him today, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just lift your hand. Just lift it up. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees all those hands going up. Lord bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. Just lift them up. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God, we have walked through this beautiful psalm today. It gives us a good picture of the use of our lips and our mouth. David was often perplexed, depressed, walked through turmoil, struggled. People were out to get him at every turn. He even murdered God. He even committed adultery. And through it all, you just drew him closer to you. Lord, sometimes when we walk through those moments where we just feel like a failure, where we feel depressed, angry, vengeful, where our feelings just aren't in check anymore. God, may help us to conquer those giants that the world so easily puts in front of us. And may we know that it's you doing it, because we want to say to you, God, be the glory now and forevermore. Your will, your purpose in our life, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.